fellow Freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with my Faith and Freedom show, engaging the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Sounds very religious, and it's on commercial talk radio. What's happening there? It's good to have a religious fanatic on the radio, somebody who identifies with Jesus, because he's not going to get on the radio, and when you give a call at 888-248-2046, say, "What are you saying? You're bleeding hot liberal. Get off the phone, you dope." He's not going to do that kind of stuff. He's going to be very gracious and loving and talk about these issues of the day. I call it preservative talk radio. It's a preservative. A little salt, a little light. That's what we've been called to do, us religious fanatics. So that's what we're going to do. What did I see? I remember, I have been influenced by Cheech and Chong. In the early 70s, my brother, he was a teenager and I wasn't. They had a little thing, they had the record, you know, and they did the little speech and everything. And Cheech Marin talked like he was from, you know, he's an East LA kind of guy or something like that. And I was an East LA guy, so I sort of talked like Cheech Marin by accident. They had this thing of the guy who's everything out, he stuck up his nose. And also I had friends and family who talk like this. And when they say something, they might be having a directive, but they said it like a question. Sometimes you'll see it come out of me because of my family influences and neighbors. So I'll say weird things sometimes. But so let's see what's happening in the legislature. Dodger fan and everything, by the way, as Dodger fan. Used to walk to the Dodger Stadium with my brother. I was 6, he was 9. I mean, those were the good old days. In East L.A., well, of course, I got beat up by people when I was like 6 years old one time. Criminals beating up a child, that was strange. Go ahead and talk about, well, actually, we have a call. We have a caller from here. Welcome. Thank you, by the way, for calling Copperhead Radio. This is David Allen Carmichael. What's your question?
Allen Carmichael, we all love you here, Sonny.
Uh-oh, we lost him. Call back, listener. We lost you. See what happens when somebody finally makes a phone call. See how they say when they make a phone call. We knock them off the radio. I was so shocked. And I, you know what? We actually normally turn off the audio so I don't have that little buzzing sound in the background. I'm like, who's doing that? What line is that? I had to go check the line and say, which one is that? He's probably still talking. Probably doesn't even know we're not listening to him. Here we go. Hey, sorry about that, caller. We're so shocked that you called. It messed me up so much. So go ahead and tell us, what's your question or comment today? And by the way, tell me where you're calling from.
Sonny Daisy, Chattanooga.
Great.
And all I'm hearing is good feedback about your show. Everybody loves you here. So.
Well, good. Well, tell those people.
They're shy about calling in, but they listen and they like you. So that's good news.
Okay. Well, tell them to call me even during the work day. They can call me, even on my dime, and we can just chat, you know, and just have a good time.
You know what the concern is here? They really are concerned with this administration and Christianity. And I get that talk around town. Where do you think the administration is headed with imposition of their will on churches as far as contraceptives and so on and so forth? This is the Bible Belt.
Okay, well, let me connect some dots here. One of the things that you can't do is just take what you're hearing on the mass media. What you have to do is connect some dots. And that's one of the benefits of doing radio and having to do, hopefully, substantive research is going back and finding out what people have said in the past. And just for instance, the current president of the United States, in the very beginning, when he was running for office and they knew he was of a certain political bent, it was very easy to ask certain questions and expect certain answers. When he was asked about marriage, he it's almost like he was very reverent in the way he described his answer. He said that, well, marriage has always been traditionally, and I believe, is the sanctity of marriage, and it's a one man and one woman. And so he was very careful about that. And it sounded very, quote, in quotes, you know, as your standard Christian person, evangelical, you know, whatever it would be, probably, you know, right-leaning and actually consistent with the traditions of law in America. But since then, now I've actually got a little clip of him on video where he's talking to a lesbian, gay, bisexual, I don't, you know, whatever the acronym is, and saying, there's going to come a time in America, he was doing a rally, when people come to the realization that, and I can't quote him, but he was elevating homosexual conduct and marriage as something that is a right, wonderful thing that society needs to finally come around to in order to have a sound mind. I mean, that's really what he communicated. So I'm going to answer your question here. What I see is, and those are, that's one example, it is a very deliberate, you know, kind of a classic politician mechanism of communicating to people what they want to hear in order to obtain the power necessary to do what they want to do that is exactly contrary to those folks that they were initially appealing to. That's where I see it going, and that's the basis of why I see it that way.
Well, you don't bash anybody, but it appears that this current president is without any morals whatsoever in believing in late-term murdering of unborn children and literally voting for the confiscation of guns and ammunition. I mean, if there could be a devil in the White House who actually makes Bill Clinton look conservative, and I hate to say it, I think it's this guy. I really do. And if you look at the Northeast states that voted for him, we are in a sad state of affairs in this republic. I mean, what do we do as Americans to regain this republic?
Well, the next step
when so many people have voted for Marxism and Satanism, basically.
Well, look at something that just came out in the news. It might have been today or yesterday, that General McChrystal finally has come public post his kind of a sort of forced resignation. Actually, it was a honorable resignation because he realized that he had done something that created conflict. And because of the honorable guy that he was, he didn't do anything pragmatic to try to cover things up or smooth it over. He just resigned. And that showed an immense honor. I mean, that's the kind of American fighting man you want. It turns out in the article, it says that he voted for President Obama in 2008. One of my former, the Commodores that I worked for, man, I have this awesome respect, very intelligent guy. He fears God. In 2008, I saw something after he had retired. I saw him campaigning for President Obama. And so I don't know what it is. I think there is a spiritual thing. I think there is this strange pandemic of dementia that is causing people in their hearts and minds to embrace something that I think it is. I think there is a little bit of a sublime influence there. And I'm going to stop, and I'm talking too much. A lot of times I listen when somebody finally calls, but you've kind of pushed a button for me. At the beginning of the Obama administration, I'd seen some things he said talking about being a progressive, and I know what progressive means. It means you're a communist, and you're going to progress to absolute Marxism progressively. That's exactly what a progressive is. You're not making progress, but you are progressing. So I knew that about him, but I held back on defamation. Since then, I have personally written letters to the President of the United States chastising him because of his absolute contradiction in everything that he is, everything he says, and everything he does to go absolutely, wholeheartedly, vehemently with targeting the undermining of the framework of the very fabric of the nation's law and morality. So I think he is absolutely the epitome of almost a judgment on America. You know what I mean? As if he is literally a manifestation of a rebuke against America and our immorality. It sounds kind of extreme, but that's actually the conclusion I've come to.
I mean, it appears to be bordering on, if not pure sedition, and even in the Congress. I mean, these acts are so seditious, and like you said, it's almost like Americans are in a hypnotic state, or at least in the Northeast, because Tennessee didn't go for Obama, and the South didn't. And, you know, the stereotype of Southerners not being smart is ridiculous, because they are smart. They get it.
Well, there's something I just want to tell you something too. One of the things that you're going to see about economics and history and society is you have to be producing more than you're consuming in order to survive, let alone prosper. And we're now shifting to where we're having more people consuming more than's being produced. And of course, the more you can get doing that, and they end up being 51% of the vote, even without their political persuasion, when they become dependent, when the majority are dependent, then of course you're going to maintain your power until the entire system turns into anarchy, which is exactly what Marx called for as the tool that was going to actually enable somebody to bring in that this Marxist utopia.
I'm going to ask you one crazy question. I want your honest opinion. Do you think you will see, and I don't know that that's the solution, because I believe the results may be worse than what we have, but do you foresee with this potential gun grab, a revolution in your lifetime?
I don't. Now, that's, it may be because I'm just silly, but I don't. And I'm going to bring something up. I had a guy at the first, I went to a tea party thing, met a guy there, and it was actually great. I didn't intend to go, but I went. Somebody invited me. A little old lady invited me to one of the first tea party events. And so I went and enjoyed it. I thought it was just a bunch of Americans celebrating the country and celebrating God and everything. And when I was there, I ended up talking to the guy, invited him to do a radio interview because he was like your common man. He says, man, I'm about ready to take up arms. And I rebuked him. And I said, you know what? I'm getting sick and tired of people saying, I'm ready to take up my guns. If there's somebody who's been sitting on their Rumpelstiltskin for the last 20 years, basking in the, you know, opiate of the masses religion with their lips and not shouldering the responsibility of fighting for freedom, that is actually a harder job than carrying guns overseas. I mean, I was in the military, and it is a more difficult task to fight for your freedom as a civilian, and it's a much greater responsibility. And what happens is, I think we've got to be careful and encourage people to not vent their frustration and give a cause for the knuckleheads to come at them with government-sponsored guns, but rather to take up the responsibility, one, to share the love of Christ with their neighbor sacrificially, and to uphold the law of the land and the Constitution.
I'm actually glad you said that, because my retort to that is, are you willing to take the life of your fellow Americans, a young kid in arms that believes he's defending his country? I mean, are you really willing to do that? Because you know that's what governments do. You know, they put daycare centers to hide their mischief at the front office, and this perky little girl to say, hi, how you doing? So the bureaucratic satanic wheel can roll. And the same thing with the military and the National Guard. They put our young men and women there. Are you willing to? Because that's who you're talking about, arming, when you talk about taking up arms.
Right. And I agree. So I think it was a good question. And we're going to have to take a break here. And I can see my little clock running. Yep, I've got 60 seconds. And somewhere in the next 60 seconds, I got to do my little spiel. But I appreciate your call. That was good. That's what we do. Now, it just turns out he pushed my buttons on certain things that sometimes I may or may not say on this radio. It sounds extreme to some people. But the way I come to my conclusions, I didn't necessarily have the same conclusions 10, 15, 20 years ago. I came to the commitment that I was going to do everything in my life as much as possible, failing as I go, based on what does the Word of God say? What is the right thing to do? What's the, on the other hand, you guys see Topol, on the other hand, Lord, right? What's the other hand? But do it according to a biblical base. And because of that, and I know there's authority that God has delegated, I do it according to a constitutional basis. And that's how I know right versus wrong. We'll be right back